This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon. Les Miserables opens on Christmas Day. It's a movie made from a 27-year-old musical that was made from Victor Hugo's classic 150-year-old novel about a man, Jean Valjean, who stole a loaf of bread to feed his sister's family and served 19 years on a chain gang, but finds happiness and prosperity until he's pursued by his old jailer through the backdrop and barricades of the French student rebellion of 1832. One of the best-known stories in literature and musical theater has been brought to the screen by Tom Hooper, the director who won the Academy Award for The King's Speech. It stars Hugh Jackman as Jean Valjean and Anne Hathaway as Fantine. It is the big movie of this holiday season, and a few days ago we spoke with both Hugh Jackman and Anne Hathaway and thanked them for being with us.
Scott, thank you for having us.
It's our pleasure.
So why... In this story that's considered the very soul of France, does everybody seem to have a British accent?
Trust me, this was a conversation we had many times. In fact, I think I tried three different accents for Jean Valjean. Obviously, we're speaking English. So, it's a little redundant to speak English with a French accent. However, the difficulty is if you delve too much into the regional British accents, then it becomes decidedly British and not a French story. So this was one of those dilemmas that we mulled over a lot.
Anne Hathaway, you literally grew up with this musical, I gather.
Yes. When I was 7 years old, my mother was cast in the First National Tour. She performed the role of the factory girl and then understudied Fantine, which is the way I saw the show for the second time was with my mother as Fantine.
So this is very familiar territory to you.
It goes pretty deep. I think seeing my mother and hearing her sing these songs made it real for me. I didn't feel like I was watching a musical. I didn't feel like it was outside of me. I felt like it was very relevant and very meaningful and that these emotions were very real in my life. And I think it did wind up showing up in my performance that I didn't feel like I was playing a character, but I utterly connected with Fantine as a real person.
I dreamed a dream in time gone by. Life worth living. I dreamed that love would never die. I dreamed that God would be forgiving.
I can't imagine what it must be like for a mother to see her daughter sing that song, and in a way that is utterly unforgettable.
Well, thank you so much for saying that. My mom and my dad have seen the film, and she told me it was her favorite performance of the song that she's ever seen.
I had a dream my life would be so different from this hell I'm living, so different now from what it seemed. Oh, life has killed.
Pretty much for the entire song, Tom Hooper holds a close-up of Annie, a one-shot, I would say for 2.5 or 3 minutes. It's pretty much an acting masterclass, and you just happen to be about 18 inches away from her face. It's pretty incredible piece of filmmaking and an extraordinary piece of acting.
Thank you, Hugh.
My
wow.
pleasure.
Now, and unlike most movie musicals, or at least until now, everyone in the film sings their songs live. How did that work, Mr. Jackman?
Basically, each actor had a earpiece, small inner earpiece, and that was receiving music from one of our two great accompanists who were just offset playing an electric piano live. So we were getting the song played in our ears, and we were singing. So if you just walked onto set, you would think we were all singing a cappella, but in fact we had these incredible accompanists playing along, and every take was live.
Who am I? Can I conceal myself forevermore? Pretend I'm not the man I was before? and mask my name until I die. Be no more than an alibi, must I lie? How can I ever?
I've done a lot of stage shows before, I've done a lot of movies, but in a way, it was this great combination of both, where every day on film felt like an opening night and a closing night all at once.
Gave me hope when hope was gone. He gave me strength to journey on. Who am I?
The other beauty of the way we did it was the accompanist had a monitor seeing what the camera was seeing. So the accompanists were following us. They would watch our breathing, try and watch which way we were going with the song. And we had complete freedom to sing the song as we felt it. And each take could be different. We were not married to any particular rhythm, particularly in our solos.
Now, speaking of breathing, in an opening scene, you're on what looks like a very high hill.
Yeah.
Was it harder to swallow the air to sing up there?
Yeah, no, it is. I think right there was the first day of filming. It was below freezing up there.
You were wearing wooden clogs.
Yes, wooden clogs. And it was, my hands were purple, and you can definitely hear it in the voice. And I think that was when we all first turned to each other in terms of the crew and went, okay, well, this is, we are definitely communicating the immediacy and the reality of the situation. And it may not be as pretty as you could make it in a sound booth, but I think what we were doing was just communicating the story in such a more visceral way than we ever could using older techniques.
I just have to jump in here for a second and mention that that first day of filming, which was just Hugh and a small portion of the crew and Tom, our director, they went off to France, and none of us really knew if it was going to work. And when they came back, there were two things that everybody was talking about. One was how incredible Hugh sounded and how good his acting was. And two, that he was in the worst possible physical conditions and he did not complain once. And Hugh really was our leader and set the tone for that.
Trust me, South of France mountains sounds a lot better than reality. It was, I kept thinking, fantastic. We're flying into Nice. This is great. What a great way to start. And within about 3 hours, I had purple hands. I was like, I didn't sign up.
You probably had visions of like crusty baguette and brie.
Yeah.
And there's another standout star, in addition to yourself. Samantha Barks is just wonderful.
Isn't she just the most delicious discovery?
On my own, pretending he's beside me, all alone, I walk with him till morning. Without him,
I gather she played the role in London, right?
Mm-hmm. And the 25th anniversary concert of Les Mis, she played Eponine there. So she's very thoroughly made this role her own.
But this is her first film, and she's astonishing in it, really.
In the rain, the pavement shines like silver. All the lights are misty in the river. In the darkness, the trees are full of starlight, and all I see is him and me forever and forever.
Les Mis becomes a real signature in your life, I guess, from now on, for both of you, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, now for me, outwardly, because it's been kind of, you know, my subtext for about 23 years. So now, yeah, I think if people continue to embrace the film as early audiences do, I think it's going to be a signature in a lot of people's lives. I think it's going to be one of those films that you really remember seeing and talk about. I hope that happens because I love shared experiences and I particularly love shared musical experiences.
Anne Hathaway and Hugh Jackman, who sing and star in Tom Hooper's film of Les Miserables, opening on Christmas Day. Thank you both for being with us.
Thank you for having us on your show.
Thank you so much.